Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what problem did Neshama Karlibach face with the Orthodox Jewish community after her father died?
Let us light these lights for the world tonight. Let our hearts unite in the light, in the light. There is a spark in every
That was Believe from Neshama Karlibach's latest album of the same name, and she'll tell us more about it later. She's the daughter of the late Rabbi Shlomo Karlibach, who is a singer, rabbi, and spiritual leader, and is considered by many to be the foremost Jewish religious songwriter of the 20th century. Neshama is an award-winning singer, songwriter, and educator in her own right, and has performed and taught in cities around the world. She was one of the creators and performers of the musical Soul Doctor, which tells her father's story and features his music. It ran on Broadway and was also performed in other cities in the United States, Canada, and Israel. She collaborates with musicians of different faiths and has performed at countless concerts and gatherings for audiences of all ages and backgrounds. She was the first Orthodox woman of her generation to perform for a mixed-gender audience and is a strong advocate for religious pluralism and human rights. Since her debut album, Soul, in 1996, Neshama has released 10 records, which showcase her versatility and her unique blend of various genres, including classic Hebrew folk songs, contemporary pop music, jazz, and gospel. Her most recent release, Believe, features her band and a new gospel choir led by Pastor Milton Van.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Neshama. You are the daughter of the famous rabbi and singer Shlomo Karlibach. Pronounced right?
You did a great job.
Okay. What was it like growing up with him, and how did he influence your musical career?
Those are very big questions, both of them. The truth is, my father was a very beautiful, elusive friend from afar most of the time. He was traveling nonstop and was never really home. My relationship with him on that level, though, was probably stronger than most children have with their parents. There wasn't a lot of discipline or, you know, involvement in everyday homework or go to sleep or get in the shower. You know, it wasn't that kind of relationship. He was like a friend. He was like a kindly uncle from afar, you know, and we spoke every day on the phone. We were tremendously close. And I think we really didn't have a regular child-parent relationship. We had more of a, you know, we spoke very deeply to each other. We shared a lot. And when he died, that was the greatest crash for me, to lose someone who was filled with so much support and love and light. And I mean, it was just absolutely devastating. And the reason that I began my career It really became mine because he had passed away very suddenly, and he had had over a year of shows booked, and people asked if I would step in.
Wow.
To do it in his place. So I don't know that I necessarily would have come to it myself. I don't know. It's an amazing thing how led I felt, how spiritually guided I felt during that time. Like I said yes without thinking. I started my work without thinking. And I feel very blessed, actually, that I was able to do the work in his name at first, and then because I was strong enough to do it.
Well, you had been performing with him, hadn't you?
I had for 5 years. I performed with him. I traveled with him. It was really special. So it wasn't out of the clear blue that I received the calls, will you be doing it in his place? It wasn't surprising necessarily, but I guess I had a choice. I could have said no, but I feel very blessed that I had the courage to step in.
Did you have any formal musical training?
Yes, from when I was 3 years old.
Wow.
I was acting, dancing, singing constantly. My dream when I was a teenager was to be on Broadway, like, you know, the dream that all good Jewish girls have. but I was singing and performing. That was always a part of my life, a very big part of it. I was in plays constantly and you know, just constantly involved. And really, I say this all the time, my father was my greatest teacher. He really spoke to me about how to connect to an audience, how to connect to myself. That was probably the greatest lesson, how to channel my own longings into a language that people could feel energetically, and how to transmit hope. It's very special when I reflect back.
Do you play any instruments?
I do not.
You were talking about Broadway. Can you tell us about the musical Soul Doctor? Because that
yes,
was based on the life of your father, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I was one of the creators of that project. I feel very proud of my own contribution, although I had nothing much to do with the book or the lyrics. And I feel very blessed to have seen the world at large responding to my father's music with the love and the inspiration that they did. That was, I think, the coolest part of the whole thing for me.
And it's been performed not only in several cities in the United States, but in Canada and Jerusalem.
Yes, it has. It has. It's kind of cool, right?
Yeah. Do you have any idea who the audience was, or was it just a general Broadway kind of audience, or were there kind of special people who were interested in it?
I mean, I think mostly it's sort of the Jewish world that was really interested. And there were a lot of people of different kinds and faiths and cultures who came because it was on Broadway. I must stress, I'm not a part of the production team anymore, and I was never really present for that kind of conversation. So just what I could see when I was present in the theater on Broadway, and I was not present for their most recent runs. I don't go, actually. So I'm not sure who that audience is. I know that while people in the Jewish world already know who my father is and was, there were a whole lot of people that learned quickly and fell in love from the show. So that was really great to see.
You've performed all over the world, and notably, I think, with musicians of different faiths and different backgrounds. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how
Sure.
it came about?
Of course. So it was around 2005. I had the privilege of being connected to a gospel choir from New York. And yes, although I have performed with different musicians all over the world, my main collaboration has really been with one group of people all these years. I walked in to a rehearsal for this one event that we had all been hired for, and I fell in love with this group of people. The energy was extraordinary, and I felt enriched, and I felt the world turn from black and white into technicolor. They were extraordinary people, extraordinary musicians. And we began to sing together, and then we recorded a record together, and then we had international recognition, and then we were 6-time entrants in the Grammy Awards, which was really special. And that collaboration continues into my new recording. The singers, you know, sometimes it's a sort of a large group that I played with. Some of the singers are present at all the shows. Some of them are not. I'm very, very blessed.
Who
that collaboration has continued.
Who are they?
So the choir is led by a man named Pastor Milton Van, who's been in my life for over a decade. And he runs the choir, and he sort of helps us to arrange the music. And he's been a real partner in faith for me all these years. And he's just extraordinary.
What kind of music do they sing?
In their lives, they are African-American Baptists. They sing songs of worship with me. They do this music that we create together.
Are they from New York?
Yes.
Now I want to ask you about your own personal journey, because you were raised Orthodox, but now you're a member of a Reform community. Can you tell us a little bit about your own personal spiritual journey?
Sure. I'm actually not a member of the Reform community at all. I had written a piece about a moment of inspiration that I had had being exposed to a Reform convention, which was very, very life-changing for me at the time, because I had never seen women sing in public in that way. I was one of the first women of this generation in the Orthodox world to sing publicly for men. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with all of that, but men do not hear women singing. And I take a lot of issue with any woman feeling like she must be silenced to placate a man or help a man control baser urges. I have a tremendous difficulty with that. I think in this moment now in time, the world is waking up even a little bit more to how unfair this behavior has been on women, on our journeys, on our spirits. So I persevered. And after my father died, I went through a tremendous, painful time, not only for his, you know, the loss of him, but tremendous critique and, you know, really just hatred from the Orthodox world, really ripping me apart publicly and privately for my choice to sing publicly for men. And when I was Orthodox, I didn't have women colleagues, and I didn't have, you know, I was very isolated. There was a lot of men, and I was constantly apologizing for my existence, which I think is very, very painful for any woman. You know, I've become much more proud and much more strong in recent years.
But you were performing with your father for such a long time. I mean, how did he feel about your performing in front of men?
Well, clearly he supported it since he brought me on stage with him.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
so he was an Orthodox rabbi who believed in the strength of women. He worked with women to become rabbis. He supported the women of the wall. He was a very big advocate for women's rights. And then when he died, it was an avalanche of awful behavior from the community that I thought was family for me, based on the fact that they felt that I should not be allowed to sing. So my journey as an Orthodox woman has been very complicated. And on one hand, I mean, I say this with deep respect to the world, my connection to my own spirit and to God and to prayer has never been stronger, and that never changed. I think in choosing the kind of community you want to affiliate with, the kind of community you want your children to be exposed to, it's a very different conversation. So in my heart, my Judaism has not changed the way I feel inside about God, how I see God everywhere, how I'm inspired by everything. That has not changed. I felt very blessed and uplifted by the Reform world, especially at that conference and for a period of time afterwards. And I think I'm on a hunt, really, as a lot of Jewish people are, for the right home. It's not a simple thing to find in this day and age. And I feel, as long as I am able to search with peace, as long as I am open to people of all kinds, from all corners of the world, then I think I'm doing okay. You know, I don't really know where I affiliate now. I think I'm still trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. You're also a strong advocate for religious pluralism and human rights. Can you tell us something about your activities in that area?
Yes, I feel, you know, it's been an interesting journey for me to have had to fight back to be who I am. And I don't believe that any human being should have to do that. I believe that we should all, everyone in the world who feels that their lives are better lived in a certain way should be able to do that without judgment, should be able to do that without being ostracized, should be able to do that without being shunned. And unfortunately, that's not always the case in different religious communities and different groups. I feel very much that we as people put so many boxes around ourselves to more easily define who we are. And the fact is, we are limitless. We are infinite. We are endless. We have more capacity than we ever believed. So when you talk to me about human rights, I don't believe there should even be a conversation. Mm. Every human being deserves their space, their voice, their moment, their joy. Every human being should be able to choose how and where they worship or don't worship God, how and where they respond to other people. And it's, I think there's a lot of, it's so delicate, isn't it, this conversation? It's not an easy world. We live in a time where I think the contention and the anger between people is more visible than ever. You know, I think it's always visible in certain spaces, but I feel in my world, living in the United States right now, watching what's happening in Israel, there's so much brokenness. And I know that it's very optimistic to say, I just wish that we could all be who we are and stop fighting about it. But the fact is, I sing because I believe that we are, in the end, inside, we are all the same. We all have the same heart, the same desires. They manifest in different ways, just like our lives and each of our roles in the world manifest in different ways. But at the end, when we're all singing together, and I don't mean to be naive or optimistic, there is something magical that I have witnessed when people are not having conversations about the very thing they disagree on, but are just singing together. There's a breaking down of the walls. And I believe as people that one day we will find that, or at least in small pockets, we will find that. And until we do, I feel like I want to be an encourager of this process. I want to be an encourager of feeling and of depth and of just really remembering our place in this world and our fragility and our vulnerability. We all need each other. We all have something very special and important to give to our planet, our universe. Our children are born for a reason. And so I say that as loudly as I can, with as much respect as I can properly express in my spirit. I say that as much as I can, because it's really what I believe. And for those moments that I've been hurt, for the times that I've been able to make a difference, even a little bit, I feel tremendously grateful.
Your first album came out 23 years ago. And since then, how have you evolved as a person and how has that influenced your music?
You're asking very good questions.
Well, thank you.
I'm impressed. Good job. Good job. So when I began my career, I was a little girl. My children call that first record Baby Mama. I do feel like I was a baby. I emerged into my career a very brokenhearted child. I was singing my father's music because I missed him terribly and because I was afraid that the world would forget, or maybe I was afraid that I would forget. And it was filled with a lot of desperation and sadness. And I really, when I reflect back, I reacted and related to my audiences from that place of pain. So I ended up, you know, being like the music that people would hear when someone was leaving the world, you know, and people would cry with me and I would get all these letters saying, oh, I'm thinking about you. I also just had a loss. So it was like, that became like my thing, you know? And then as I evolved, as I began to heal, and it's been, you know, I still haven't healed. I think healing from the loss of something so great, I think it takes lifetimes. You know, the trauma stays, unfortunately, you know, just looks different. Depends on the color you're wearing, right? I think the greatest, if I was just going to start from where I began and then till now, my life was at one point about my mourning process. My life today is really about joy. My life today is about overcoming with strength. My life today is about love. And I say it from a very organic, real place. It's not something I had to... You know, I didn't put on an outfit of love. I literally had a journey that ripped me in many, many pieces. And when I emerged and I found myself, that is where this newest record has come from. It's, in a way, it's my first. In a way, this record right now that I have just created, Believe, is my very first project that I have really been able to put my own voice and my own essence in. It's original music. It's not tinged with my own despair and my own sorrow. It's filled with great hope for the world and really for my children. I got married in August for the second time.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I have two sons and he has two daughters and a son. So we now have a blended family of five glorious beings who live in our home. And I'm married to my best friend in the world. And I never had that kind of joy in my own heart personally. I never knew what it felt like to really be loved or to really be seen in the way that I am now. So that also comes through, I think, in not just in the music, but in every moment of my life. I have know if this ever happened to you. I wake up every day just smiling and grateful. It's the first time in my life I've ever been happy.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thank you. I hope that that can somehow translate through the notes, through the breaths of this record that took a year of our lives to create, because we really believe that love is possible. So hopefully that will come through.
So tell us more about the album, the new one.
More about it. Very excited. It just came out. It's kind of a nerve-wracking, huge experience to have a record that you work on so long and then release it to the wind. You're like, ah, there it goes. The lyrics and the words, the messaging of the music, behind the music, is it is real for me. The music was created by Beth Stiles, who produced the record also. She's a genius songwriter. I feel very blessed to have had the opportunity to work with her and kind of watch her work. She's just such a channel of great music. And together, the two of us sat with my business partner, Jackie Tepper, and the three of us literally worked for months and months and months on every word, on every note, on every nuance of what this record could be. It's not just that we were great partners in the process, but it was the first time in my life that I've ever actually worked with women, which is kind of a funny thing. I don't know why it took me so long. And of course, love the men in my life. I'm not diminishing anything, but it was a very different kind of experience creating this record. And we really created these songs trying to instill hope and love and giving back to the world. And I'm really excited for you to share it with your listeners. And I'm really excited to hear feedback from people. The love that we've received until now, just in the last couple weeks, has been tremendous. I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to go on tour with these new songs. I'm excited to share them with people of a Jewish background and people of, you know, and of different backgrounds. And I'm really hoping that the music will touch a lot of people.
You know what? I'll put one on at the beginning and I'll put one on at the end.
Okay, cool. So let's use the beginning should be Believe, the mm-hmm. title track. Believe is a song of hope. I sing it with my gospel choir about just that day, that aspirational, beautiful dream that one day we will, in fact, see heaven in each other's eyes. That I believe that there is a way to create that, that love exists. And that's what we're all sort of, whether we realize it or not, that's what we want. You know, the validation of something, the validation of self. And so Believe is that song. Believe is that anthem for that feeling. So I'm honored that you're going to share that one.
And another one? The end?
So I think, yeah, why don't you put a song called Hear Our Prayer, which is a song about healing. And it's not, I'll just talk about it. Hear Our Prayer is a song about healing, but it's not a sad song. It is a joyous song. It's too often that people give up when mm-hmm. they're ill or give up when they're broken. Really, the fact is we have to sing ourselves back to life. And this song is, it's in English, but the message behind it is a universal prayer of, please see me, please hear me, please heal me. And the way my choir, the way our singers just sort of relate back to it, you know, I'm a Jewish singer and they're Baptists. And somehow when we all pray together, something very magical happens in the air. That's what I feel when I hear our prayer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. This was awesome.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirah.com. I'll leave you now with Hear Our Prayer from Neshama's new album, Believe. See you next week.
May we be blessed.